This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is the administrator of USDA's Farm Service Agency, Zach Ducheneau. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, Lance Honig is the chief of the crops branch of the National Ag Statistics Service, taking a deeper dive into the state-by-state wheat acres.
Mostly increases across the hard red area, although Texas, you can see actually down 1.8%. Again, a lot of dry conditions all season long in Texas. Kind of a mixed bag as we look across the eastern portion of the growing area. Some states up, some states down. And again, just a quick look at that change from March. Not a lot of changes here. Again, overall, fairly small change even to the national total since March.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Zach Ducheneau. Zach is the administrator of USDA's Farm Service Agency, the FSA, in Washington, D.C. Welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here, Tony. Thanks for your help in getting the word out about these things.
Well, before we jump into what we're really focused on talking about today, I know there is a lot of concern about what's happening weather-wise, and it's easy for us to think, well, this is just what's happening here. But it's important to note that you still have a place back in South Dakota. So what are you seeing back home?
Well, back home on the family ranch, the drought is starting to turn a little bit. We're still in the D2, D3 neighborhood, but the country's at least green. So we're catching rains that we didn't really catch last year. Hopefully that's indicative of better things to come. But we're still making plans real thoughtful back on the ranch, they tell me.
Well, and that's a perfect segue into what's going on in D.C. right now. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announcing $4 billion through the Emergency Relief Program, or ERP. And one of the goals, if I understand correctly, of ERP is to help producers who've been hit by drought in the past.
Yeah, one of the things that we really appreciate about the way ERP was authorized is there are a lot of eligible weather events listed in that statute and a lot of flexibility afforded to the department in defining those. So there's quite a laundry list in addition to drought. We've got blizzard, extreme wind, hail, smoke damage from fires. The list is pretty extensive, and it's available on our farmers.gov website. And we anticipate that in this first phase, Tony, we're going to get about $6 billion of that $10 billion out the door to producers with not a lot of interaction on their part and not a lot of work on the part of our local staff.
Now, just getting it to the point to where you're not having to have this sign up go on, because obviously, whether we're talking about planting season or, you know, we're talking about calving or whatever, finding that time to actually make that appointment is, there's a lot that goes into that. How easy was it to make that transition to where basically it's a pre-filled application?
You know, there was a lot of internal dialogue and conversation about making this happen, and a lot of real hard work by a lot of our team behind the scenes. But we're really happy with the outcome. So far, I think we've got around 120,000 producers served. And as you mentioned, the secretary announced we're just over $4 billion of the $6 billion we expect to pay through this phase of the program. And that pre-filled application has been very well received by producers all across the country. We get to travel the countryside and hear that feedback, and they say this, much like ELRP, has been a welcome breath of fresh air, if you will, in the administration of disaster programs.
So ERP, the Emergency Relief Program, for those who might not, might have missed that L that you threw in for the second one, that's ELRP. How does that, how's that working?
ELRP is, we've got, we think we've got most of the folks that are going to be eligible for ELRP phase one in the door. However, there are some folks that may, for whatever reason, not have filed a livestock forage disaster program application, even though they were eligible last year. And we want those folks to know that because we built this ELRP on top of that data, we will accept late filed applications so that they could receive that LFP payment from 2021 as well as the ELRP payment. So they're, we're advising our producers, go into the county office, let them know you'd like to file a late filed LFP application. That county office will batch those up, and we'll get those up to the deputy administrator for farm programs and try to get those applications approved so we can get the producers the assistance they need.
Now, are we looking at a set deadline, a day on that? And if so, what's our deadline?
We don't have a deadline per se on late filed application submissions. It stands to reason that if you're a producer and you're hearing this, you might want to beat it over to the county office and get it done, because it can get that assistance to you in very short order if we get that done.
Okay, so we've kind of covered what the program is, where we are today. But what's down the road? Where do we go with all of this?
Well, we've got a little bit of work to do, Tony, to wrap up phase one of ERP. Those producers that had crop insurance and RMA data on file are those that we were able to serve first. The next batch is going to be those that had NAP coverage, and also those producers that maybe had a supplemental coverage option, enhanced coverage option, stacked income protection plan, margin protection plan, or area risk protection insurance. They weren't there just because of the timing of their policies and their paperwork submission. RMA didn't have that information yet. So that will also go out in this, I guess, ERP phase 1.1, where we're getting NAP and these other folks taken care of. The NAP information we do have on file, and we think we're going to be able to get that out the door, get those forms sent out sometime in July.
Well, and you again come back to those county offices and the work that's being done there. Obviously, there's a lot of work that's done at the DC level as well. Back to those county offices, those offices have kind of a unique thing that happens between the government and the community. They're county committees. How important are those, and what's happening on that front?
You know, the county committees are really unique all the way across the federal government. I don't know that there's another option where a citizen has the opportunity to so meaningfully participate in the delivery and administration of policy decisions at the local level. County committee members are selected by their fellow producers in their county based on the local administrative area in which they operate or reside, and they'll serve as our eyes and ears on the ground, if you will, as we go about delivering not only disaster programs, ad hoc programs, but our regular standing programs as well.
And those nomination, the nominations opening up for that, will have, the election coming later in the year on that. As we kind of put everything, though, with a bow on this package, is there anything else going that, or anything that we haven't touched on that producers really need to be mindful of, thinking about putting near the top of their list?
You know, what's really important, and this is with all disasters. It is challenging to go out and see the destruction of your livelihood, but it's really important that we document that. Take pictures, shoot a video, write some notes, because the more verifiable information that we've got, the better. Also, do not allow yourself to be turned away from something you think you're eligible for without submitting an application. We would rather have you turn in an application that we have to turn down than not apply at all, because when we turn down your application, you have due process rights. And again, you can exercise those due process rights, and it's not beyond the realm of possibility that we get something wrong. We're really interested in finding those places, finding the gaps where our programs don't reach. That's another place where those denied applications can help us scope the magnitude of that.
If we want to keep up with what's going on at the Farm Service Agency, I imagine there's a pretty easy way to find that all online. Am I correct there?
Yeah, we've got a website that I think becomes a little more valuable every day as we make the updates to it. It's farmers.gov. And on that, you can just click around and find whatever information you might need based on how you describe it. And our team's doing a real good job of getting timely information up there.
Again, he's the administrator for the Farm Service Agency in Washington, D.C., part of USDA, Zach Ducheneau, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Great hay doesn't just happen. A good hay crop takes planning, hard work, and the right tools. At Livingston Machinery, we have the Heston by Massey Ferguson self-propelled wind rowers, large square balers, and small square balers you need to bring your crop in right. Years of experience and rugged American-made quality show in every high-density bale. Don't just wish for good hay. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Cody Besson is CEO, Plains Cotton Growers.
Certainly, I hope people are mindful of that as they start to look at the harvest season, if they can get a crop going and really energize it. But marketing conditions are very volatile, at least from our understanding. What is driving some of it is some of the demand and supply aspect, but really a good portion of it is because of the concern going forward of a recession and inflation rates and the overall geopolitical economy that we're seeing really play out. And you see it on a lot of fronts very directly, whether it be on fuel prices, on grocery bills. And that's what the consumer can really understand. The producers really can feel it as we see some of the price decline and volatility that we're seeing today. And so that's why I mentioned for producers to be very mindful, be watchful of the market. If you can capture some price optimism, I certainly would take a look at it. But just understand it's going to be a very swinging and volatile market moving forward.
It's the Agribusiness Report. The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Zach Ducheneau, Administrator, FSA.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Almost every number in Wednesday's USDA Quarterly Hogs and Pigs Report is down from a year ago, but by only 1% or less, including farrowings and farrowing intentions, the March through May pig crop, the breeding inventory, and the total June 1st inventory of all hogs and pigs, all down about 1% from a year ago. USDA livestock analyst Shale Shagham says, on the part of the industry, this may reflect some uncertainty about the immediate future.
Uncertainties in terms of grain prices, in terms of demand in this economy for pork, which would obviously then translate into demand for hogs.
And so Shagham says, on the surface at least,
the report would indicate sort of a little bit of a negative tint in the sense that we're not looking at any expansions in farrowing intentions. They didn't expand farrowings, but nor did they show really significant levels of contraction.
In other words,
I think the industry is taking a very measured approach.
A cautious approach. Gary Crawford, Washington.